Hey, as another year comes to a close, it's important to think about things that you're really grateful for. And car talk, too. Not only have we talked you through your loose heat shields, heated seats that won't heat, but we've given you the most important gift you could possibly receive in 2019. A good distraction. That's right, with all the awful things that are going on in the world, with all the crazy arguments and angry tweets and natural disasters, we've allowed you to, once a week, visit a world in which the worst thing that happens is your car goes, and this is just a wild guess on my part, but if I had to predict the next time you're going to need a really good distraction, I'm going to go way out on a limb here and predict it's going to be next year. Now, you may say, I don't want to always bury my head in the used oil drum. I only want to be distracted from the real world, say, like 90% of the time. Well, we've got you covered there, too, because your year-end pledge to your favorite radio station not only helps support Car Talk, but also supports the best news organization on the planet, NPR. So what are you waiting for? It's the end of the year. Time to help those organizations that make your life better and make other people's lives better, too. Just go online to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Should I do it again? That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. All of us here at Car Talk and NPR, thank you for listening and look forward to spending more time with you in the new year. Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
You know, this is the most fun I have all week.
I can see that.
It is.
And we're broadcasting this week from the post-Thanksgiving recovery unit here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes. And there are lots of people with us. Yes. Look at them all burping all over the place. It's disgusting.
Well, I know you don't have any good mail, so we'll just go right
to the phones.
In fact,
I have a letter here.
This is from Chris Brown from St. Louis. Dear Tom and Ray, I'm writing to thank you for solving a potentially humiliating problem for me and my family. My sister recently came in from the cold, so to speak, when she returned to the United States for a couple of weeks from her current home in Moscow. Oh, it sounds like 007. She's been living there for 3 years, and in addition to her espionage activities, parenthesis, she claims she's been working for something called the Commerce Department.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's what he wrote. The Commerce Department. Right. Close parenthesis. She managed to find time to fall in love.
Really?
Isn't that nice? The object of her affection is a Russian named, like all Russians, Sasha. He seems to be a great guy. There is, however, a problem. He doesn't speak English. In order to lure him to the United States, that's going to have to change. In that regard, my sister's recent visit brought news. She informed me that Sasha is now studying our beloved mother tongue. That was the good news. The bad news, however, is that he's learning it from the BBC.
Really?
This is a potential disaster. What if he comes over here speaking perfect BBC-style English? How humiliating would that be to have to listen to my sister's Russian boyfriend sounding more intelligent than me or anyone I know? Don't you know?
Yeah, I see the solution here.
You can see it, right? I have, however, discovered the perfect antidote. The solution to the problem. It's Car Talk language tapes.
Absolutely.
I am now going to tape your show every week and send it off to Sasha. And let him try to learn English from the variant of it that you guys, that you guys use. I don't care how perfect the English is on the BBC. There's no way it can survive the assault of Car Talk. For every step forward he makes under the careful tutelage of those sonorous voices, he'll tumble 6 or 7 steps backward when his foot hits the banana peel you guys throw at his feet. It can't fail. Keep up the good work. Chris!
You're a wise guy. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Father Bob.
Father Bob.
Yes.
Are you a legitimate father?
Well, I think so.
Yeah? A religious type father?
Yep.
Man of the cloth.
Man of the cloth.
Okay, a tailor.
Well, in a manner of speaking, I suppose.
Where are you from, Father Bob?
I'm an Episcopal priest from Trenton, New Jersey.
No kidding. Trenton. Boy, you must have your work cut out for you.
So, would you rather we call you Father or Father Bob or Bob?
Anything but late for dinner.
Okay, good.
Okay?
All right, Bob, what's up?
I've got a 1991 Jeep Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
Been a good car, but I've got one little problem with it.
Uses the past tense, you notice.
It has been.
Many years ago, when I was in Vietnam, I lost about 20% of my hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the turn signal flasher in my Cherokee is so quiet, I can't hear it.
Yeah.
So I'm always driving around town. I forget, you know, I turn the wheel and it doesn't click off the flasher, and I've got my flasher still on.
Right, right.
And I took it back to the dealer, and they said, oh, well, we'll put in a heavy-duty flasher, and that'll solve the problem. It didn't.
It didn't.
So, I mean, I've been in other cars where they have louder flashers, and I can hear them.
Well, they put in a heavy-duty flasher, and what it does is it clicks louder.
That was the theory.
Well, yeah. You know, I have never seen, and I've been in the automotive industry, business, whatever you call
it. 7-8 weeks now.
For many moons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have never seen anything called a light-duty flasher. I mean, why would you buy a light-duty flasher if you could, for the same amount of money?
Buy a heavy-duty.
I mean, they only cost $2.
Yeah.
You buy a heavy-duty. And heavy-duty connotes, you know, obviously, and it, you know what it connotes. It's strong, long-lasting, powerful.
We once had a customer who achieved for himself the nickname Heavy Duty. Uh-huh. Because no matter what he asked us to do, he always insisted that we use the heavy duty version. Oh, make it heavy duty. So we ended up calling this guy Heavy Duty. His name was really Tony. Where is Tony?
He's doing some heavy duty time someplace.
He must have worked for you guys, huh?
No, you need to have, and it's very simple.
A light.
You need to have them wire up another light.
Wrap it around the steering wheel. I got it. Christmas lights right around the steering wheel. And then when the flasher is on, the whole steering wheel lights up.
How about we just fix it so the steering wheel gives me an electric shock?
That was one of my recommendations. But certainly another light that's placed on the dashboard someplace that will be annoying enough so that you will turn the thing off. And it can't be obviously in the instrument display like your current one is, because you don't see that one.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
I would put a nice 150-watt bulb right up there on the dashboard.
No, they can wire this thing up so that every time the directional is on, whether it's left or right, any time either side of the whatchamahooses is getting energized, the flasher, it'll turn another light on.
I can't just get a louder flasher?
Well,
you can actually have the flasher. That's another thing you can do. You can have the flasher removed from its position under the dashboard and have long. They can just cut the wires, splice in longer wires, and mount the flasher
Under the seat.
Right on the seat.
So you sit right on it. So you'll hear it, you'll feel it right on your
actually,
butt.
You could have the flasher mounted someplace on the dashboard. It would look a little ugly, but you would definitely hear it flashing. Hear it flashing. Isn't that an interesting concept? That's what you need. Have them move it. Have them cut that pigtail, splice in longer wires, and then put a little bracket and mount that baby right on the dash someplace, and you will definitely know it's going.
Okay.
I mean, you can't be that deaf. You're driving. You must hear the ambulances and all the other stuff, right?
What?
See you, Father Bob.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye. What? How did I know that was coming?
I didn't know he was going to do that.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Pam from Shreveport.
Pam.
Pam, you sound like you're a recording.
Well, I'm rather hoarse.
Oh.
Right now.
Are you on some kind of a funny telephone that you got from Time Magazine?
Well, that might be. It's a school phone.
School, yeah. They cheap out on everything.
Oh, it might be.
Are you a school teacher?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
Oh, so the kids are at recess or something?
No, they're being watched and they're reading their novels.
Yeah, no, she tied them up.
Okay.
So what's up, Pam?
Well, my car, Miss Amy Lyon, that's my car.
Miss Amy Lyon.
Yes. She has put a drop of molten lead or molten aluminum on my left foot. The first time it happened, I thought I had been stung by an insect.
As you were driving?
I was driving.
A little pellet?
Yes.
Of something fell on your left foot?
Yes.
And it was hot?
Oh, yeah.
Very hot. And so when I got to where I was going, I noticed that it was not an insect, but indeed I had this little ball of lead, aluminum-looking stuff.
Yeah, it's lead. It's probably lead.
Oh, probably lead.
Probably solder.
Solder.
Yeah. I haven't asked you what kind of a car it is yet because I'm.
You're going to predict?
No.
You're going to guess? What
no,
kind
I
of?
Don't. No, I was hoping to guess what kind of a car it is because I figured I might get one out of two questions right. I have no idea where the soda came from.
Well, then let's shoot for what kind of car it is because I don't know where the soda came from either. I'm going to guess. Let's see. Soda.
Well, I'm going to guess it's an American car.
No. I'm going to guess that it's Japanese.
Oh, you're right.
What? Who's right?
Japanese.
I'd say then that it's a Subaru.
Nope.
Toyota.
Yes.
Okay, now why?
That was my first guess. Toyota.
Well, I'm going to tell you that you are a car fire waiting to happen.
Oh, dear.
If you're pulling so much current through a wire that you are melting the solder.
Yeah.
Then you are a hair's breadth away from melting the insulation on that wire and causing a major short circuit and having the car burn up as you go down the highway.
Oh, my gosh.
But
I have to agree with my brother that, I mean, for to be hot solder, don't forget, the way you have to get solder hot, if you're using solder, is you heat it up like with a blowtorch. You know, a little propane torch?
Well, in this case, right. you'd use a soldering gun.
It would
gun.
Be a soldering gun or a soldering iron.
Which is many hundreds of degrees.
Yeah, so, these are not the temperatures that you would normally encounter under the dashboard.
Oh, golly.
So something's really wrong.
I would guess that maybe something's pulling too much current. It may be that the compressor clutch is pulling too much current. And as a consequence, it's heating up the wires. And it's melting the solder at the connections. I don't know where the solder connections are, but it shouldn't take a genius to get under the dashboard and figure out what's directly above your foot.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is confusing because whatever is drawing that much current should have blown fuses by the dozen by now.
And this is why they tell you not to drive barefoot.
That's right, because this happens all the time. Seriously, Pam, have someone look at it as soon as possible.
Oh, I certainly will.
This sounds really lousy to me. I don't like it.
Oh, okay. Well, I certainly will then.
Thanks for your call.
Well, thank you. I love your show. Thank
Thanks.
You so
Thanks
much.
For calling. Go untie the kids.
Bye-bye.
Bye. She doesn't sound like the type that would tie up kids, but those are the ones that fooled her. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Al Atherton in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, Al.
Nashville.
So what's happening, Al?
Well, I have a question for you.
Okie doke.
Okay. And it's based on a friendly discussion between my brother and I, almost turned into an argument, but I steer it away. He's
Brothers can be like that.
Is your brother younger than you or older?
Oh, he's older.
And he's probably a jerk, isn't
well,
he?
Well, then listen to what he says, you fathead!
He's always right.
Well, let's see if he's right this time.
All right. He's really concerned that I drive his truck into the garage and for him and park it too close to the wall, and the truck can't be backed out of the garage because I've parked it carelessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, anytime you wheel something into something and you drive it into the garage, you can back it out the same way it came in, as long as you don't slip on the pavement or skid sideways or crawl or something like that. Hmm. So he said, no, you can get it in there, jam it in there wrong, and get it to where it won't come back out. And I said, no matter how difficult it is, it's possible to back it out to the same track it went in on.
So what you're saying is you're pulling in and one side of the vehicle is too close to the wall.
Yeah, and then it gets kind of trapped by an exterior wall that's outside the garage where if you try to back out, it's tricky.
Why do you do this? Just to tick him off, huh?
No, I had to move his truck because I had to get mine moved out of the way or something like that.
Well, you know, I think that theoretically he's correct.
Oh, no.
Well, I think. I'm working on it right now.
Okay.
But don't forget, when you pull in, it's the front wheels that are doing the turning.
Right.
And I think it is possible for you to get into a place where you can't get out.
Well, I remember years ago.
I remember the same thing. There you go. See that? That's it. I lived in Brookline.
My brother lived in Brookline, which is the town, in fact, where the station is located. And after the show, he says to me, there's a gal who lives in my building whose car wouldn't start. We have to give her a jump start.
And in this particular building that I lived in, the only way you could park was to pull down this little narrow, what would you call it?
Alleyway.
A little alleyway with a 90-degree turn in it.
At one end.
Yeah. No, in the middle.
In the middle. In the middle. That's right, in the middle.
So you had to take a 90-degree turn to get into this thing, and it was about as wide as the car.
So here I am driving my newly painted LTD, the one that was later to burn up in the hotel garage in Montreal. And
that's an ill-fated car, wasn't it?
It was, right from the beginning. So Tommy says, hang a right, hang a left, hang a right. And we drive down this alleyway.
So we can jumpstart this girl's car.
And I remember it was Super Bowl Sunday.
And it was snowing.
And
like
it was cold, and miserable. And I didn't want to be there. So we jumpstart her car, and to add insult to injury, the car won't start because the battery's not dead because it went dead. She drained the battery trying to start it because she was out of gas. So we give up. I throw the jumper cables in the back of the car. He says, see you later, and he goes home. And I attempt now, because at the end of this alleyway is this little parking area,
right,
to turn around and drive out.
But you can't.
But I can't.
But you could back out to the same
right.
Time.
Well, you would think that, wouldn't you?
Well, I didn't know that I could back out. Well, you would assume, yes. In fact,
this
that's the way out.
The question.
Yes, I think you are right, Al. I think if you can pull in, you can back out. Don't forget, I pulled into the
yes, you did
the alleyway, and I ended off. Actually, we got out a peculiar way. We ended up jacking up the car and pushing it off the jack. To make it negotiate the turn.
Don't forget, it's snowing out. It's dark.
And it's about 5 degrees.
5 degrees.
And the jack is about 5 degrees.
And we can't turn the car around because there's not enough room in this little lot.
And it's wedged in, threatening to damage my new paint job. So we had to jack up the rear end of the car and push it off the jack so we could move it over 6 inches. And then we kept doing this until we finally negotiated the turn. And then with tires of smoke, and I pulled out of there and made it home to see the last quarter of the Super Bowl.
And you waited all this time to punish somebody for it. And it's me.
But I'm going to stay on your side. I think if you pull the thing in, the problem is that you know exactly how you turn the wheel to get in there. And if he does anything at all to the wheel to get out, or if you were real nasty, if you pulled in and then turned the wheel after you stopped, he'd never figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to recreate his own bad driving first and then my bad driving.
That's right.
Yeah, he would. So I think, theoretically, it is possible for him to get into a mess that he can't get out of, but tough.
Yeah. That's what he gets for being a jerky older brother.
Yeah.
See you, Al.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
bye.
For calling. Bye.
All right, Tommy, it's time to head into the puzzlerous, rememberous segment of the show. You ready for your puzzler hints?
Ready, willing, and...
Two out of three ain't bad. All right, here we go. First hint.
Yeah.
Nature abhors a...
A low-rated sitcom on TV.
No, I was looking for a vacuum. Uh-huh. Okay, next. When a sailboat is stuck facing straight into the wind, it's considered to be in what?
Deep doo-doo, unless you have a paddle. So it has to do with... Vacuum and deep doo-doo.
No, the answer is irons. Haven't you ever heard of a sailboat being in irons?
Never heard the term.
Anyway, the puzzle was about my vacuum cleaner and the mysterious block of iron, I think it was iron, inside it. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
Back when I was just a child, Gypsy read my palms. She said, don't ride motorcycles 2 feet on the ground.
And even though the ACLU wonders if this whole free speech thing is really such a hot idea whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Colette Travel. Save up to 20% on guided tours all across the world during Colette's Black Friday sale. Their travel collection features over 160 worldwide tours, including small group explorations, single destination spotlights, and more. Offer expires December 3rd. Make 2020 the year your travel dreams come true. Restrictions apply. Visit Colette.com/NPR or call 855-212-2045. Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Thanksgiving can be full of turkey disasters.
It was just pasty and white, and it had this gross cloth over the top of it.
We'll talk about how to avoid that and keep Thanksgiving simple and edible. Plus, a chat with celebrity chef Samin Nosrat. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
This was one from my Day in the Life of Ray series.
Yeah, when you screw up something else. What'd you do, drop a car off the lift again?
No.
No, I remember this puzzler, actually.
A few weeks ago, our vacuum cleaner broke, and before throwing it out, I decided to take it apart to see if I could fix it. And this is a conventional, I think what you call a canister vacuum cleaner. That's kind of on wheels. Looks like a torpedo. It has the hose on one end, and it's got the switch on top, and the cord which gets tangled around every chair leg in the house comes out the other end. And the whole thing is made of plastic. In fact, it's fair to say it's lightweight junk. Anyway, I take the thing apart, and I find the problem. Amazingly, there's a broken wire at the motor. So I say, whoop-de-doo, I don't really have to throw it out. I can fix this thing.
Yeah.
Well, while I'm fixing it, I notice that attached to the base of this thing on the inside is a huge chunk of metal. I think it's iron. It looks like it weighs about 2 pounds. And I remember years ago when I took my stereo amplifier apart, I noticed it also had a huge chunk of metal. Otherwise, it was a big empty box, and they put that in there so you wouldn't think it was a big empty box with 65 cents worth of electronic components. They stuck in a big chunk of iron to make it seem like it had some heft to
it. Those evil marketing. It's the marketing people who do stuff like that.
Yeah, they made the thing, and they said, are you kidding me? No one's going to pay $300 for this.
Exactly.
Had some beef to it. Where's the beef? So I say, those sleazeballs, they put this big hunk of metal in my vacuum cleaner to make it seem like it's not just a cheap piece of plastic. And I thought, wait a minute, do I want my wife dragging around the vacuum cleaner that's 2 pounds heavier than it needs to be? I'll just throw this piece of iron out. So I remove it, and I toss it out. You with me so far?
I'm with you, man.
And I put the vacuum cleaner back together, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table.
Feeling pretty smug.
Smugly
fixed something else.
Smugly chewing on an apple. Waiting for my wife to finish her outdoor chores so I can have her come back to there. She was painting
She's
the
slopping
house.
Slopping the pigs?
She's slopping the pigs, painting the house, cutting the grass. So I could demonstrate to her
that you could make it easier for her to take care of her indoor chores.
Anyway, she comes into the house and I proudly proclaim that I fixed the vacuum cleaner and made it lighter.
Yeah.
And I invite her
to press the button.
To press the button. And she does. The question is, what happened? Well, I'm sure most of you would expect that the thing burst into flames or it vibrated itself to death. But I gave a hint. And the hint was I was chewing on an apple. And the apple should remind you of whom?
William Tell. Adam and Eve.
Well, three guesses. You
a
get
doctor.
You get three guesses.
I got three.
Quarter.
I got the three you most obvious things.
What if an apple hit you in the head? Who would that remind you of?
Isaac.
Isaac Newton. There you go. And I was reminded of Newton's first law of motion. I think it's the third, which says for every action, there is an equal and opposite
reaction. Oh, that's
reaction.
Why you were eating the apple.
That's why I was eating the apple. It was a hint.
A hint.
And when she hit the switch, the fact that I had removed this hunk of iron made the vacuum cleaner behave in a peculiar manner.
Sure.
The motor started turning in one direction, and the whole vacuum cleaner
turned in the other direction. Started doing flips in the kitchen floor, right?
Ripping the cord out of the wall, creating all kinds of sparks.
And a fire.
At which point my wife said, good work, hon. So they had put the weight in for a reason.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess
so. It wasn't the sleazeball marketing types. It was the sleazeball engineering department.
Anyway, so who's our winner?
Well, the winner is John Harding from Washington, D.C., who may be a lawyer or a politician, in which case he will not get the prize. But if he is neither of those, he will get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With that $25 gift certificate, John is going to get 1 9/16 copies of our CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father, when it comes to cars.
It also comes with a 2-pound chunk of steel. So you won't
which we happen to have left over.
CD, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't slam off the radio in disgust just yet. And right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
Jerry.
Jerry with a G?
A J.
That's what I wrote it with. Where are you from?
Cool. Atmore, Alabama.
Atmore, A-T-M-O-R-E?
You got it.
Alabama.
That's down here in God's country.
Where is Alabama, actually?
My geez.
You know, my daughter is in the eighth grade, and she has a map of the United States with nothing written on it. But just the places where the
geographic,
where the lines.
Yeah,
the lines where the states begin and end.
Yeah.
And I got Massachusetts because it's got that little thing that sticks out. And I got Florida and California.
Okay. And that's it, huh?
That was it.
You joke.
Oh, Texas. I got Texas. But all the northern stuff, no idea whatsoever. I mean, there are so many states up there.
Yeah.
There's like Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota. I don't know which is which.
And Alabama's up
and
there,
then,
too.
And then I know Alabama is south, but
exactly
how close to Texas is it?
Well, let's see. I don't know how far. It's about 14 hours from Texas.
Oh, it's more east.
Yeah, we're right beside Georgia. And
Georgia. Georgia. Oh, it's near Georgia. Oh, that's Alabama.
That's us.
Yeah.
Man.
You have led a terribly sheltered life.
I was going to say, man, come down here and live.
I know. Jeez.
Yeah, well, I got a lot to learn, man.
Evidently.
And see, that's why I'm calling you, is down here it gets a little bit warm, and I got problems with my air, and I know you can handle my problem.
Of course.
We're ready, Jerry.
Well, it's been driving me crazy. I went to air conditioned refrigeration in high school and in college, and I can't fix my own van. I got trouble.
Yeah, it happens. What's it doing?
It does.
What kind of a vehicle is it?
Oh, it's a, and there's where the problem begins. It's a Ford, and it's a conversion van, Mark III, an E150, 1992 model with a 302 engine.
Okay. Yeah.
And the problem is that when you give it gas or it needs power, guess what changes from blowing on you to the defrost mode?
Yes.
Okay.
And so does the heat, too.
That's true.
Because you don't have enough vacuum to keep the doors open in the right position.
That's correct. Now,
oh, you know that.
I do know that.
Yeah.
I have taken the dash completely apart.
Good.
How many screws do you have left over?
I had a little bucket that I had left over. Where do I start here, guys? My Haynes do-it-yourself book doesn't show me any of the vacuum.
Here's where I would start.
All right.
If you go under the hood, such as it is, you will find a little vacuum manifold that has one hose leading from it to the intake manifold, and then a couple of other hoses leading from it to various things, one of which is the heater control mechanism under the dash.
Okay.
Okay. And what I think you want to do is install a vacuum reservoir someplace under the hood.
Ooh.
Now, how do you spell that?
V-A-C-U-U-M. What you want is a canister that can give you vacuum reserve.
Okay.
And I know Volkswagens used to have a thing. If you've ever worked on old Volkswagens, like, you know, Rabbits and Golfs and whatever, you open the hood and it looked like there was a plastic thing which looked like a bunch of balls, baseballs stuck together.
Okay.
And that thing was a vacuum reservoir. Because what's happening is you're too quickly depleting the vacuum, and that's why you're closing doors and opening others, because there are some doors that are held open by this vacuum. So if you don't have enough vacuum, you're going to close these doors and divert the flow of air.
Right.
So I would try to get one of these, something like this. It could even be a tin can, something that can give you additional vacuum so that when you do climb a hill, at least for a portion of that when you're accelerating, you won't lose your heat or your air conditioning.
Where do I put that, then?
Any place you can fit it.
You know, under that hood, there ain't much
room. Well, you may have to put it under the seat.
And you want to put it in series with that manifold.
Okay, with the manifold.
Right. So in other words, the vacuum's going to go from the manifold to this thing and then to your heater control.
Okay.
And you can go to an auto recycler, a.k.a. junkyard.
And, we got those, too.
And look for one of these things that I've been talking about. It's a plastic, it'll be strapped to the underside of a hood on an old Volkswagen. And you might have to get a couple of them.
All right.
And you're going to need also...
100 feet of vacuum
for that too. And a check valve.
A check valve, all right.
Yeah, you're going to need a check valve so that once you build up... you build up vacuum.
It's hard to explain, isn't it?
Yeah.
You do build up vacuum.
You build up vacuum by taking stuff away.
Yeah.
Okay, so once you build down vacuum, you want to make sure that it doesn't leak back in, so you need a check valve between this thing and the manifold.
Okay.
But you can buy one of those at the Ford dealership.
Right, and when nothing works, it's because you put the check valve in backwards.
Yeah.
But when you turn it around, then everything will work.
All right.
Good luck, Jerry.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and I'm calling from Halethorpe.
From who, what?
From Halethorpe.
Where the hell is Halethorpe?
It's a lovely little town in the countryside of Maryland.
It is.
It is indeed.
H-A-L-E?
It is indeed.
T-H-O-R-P-E?
Yes, it is. That's very good. Have you been there before?
Never heard of it.
But it just sounded
like that.
It sounds
like a lovely little town in Maryland someplace.
It's a lovely little town.
Well, we're happy to talk to you. What can we do for you, Rachel?
Well, I have a Honda Civic, and it's a lovely four-door sedan with about 97,000 miles on it. And I have a question about something that a mechanic told me when I was traveling in upstate New York. And I took my car in because my brakes stopped working rather suddenly, and I thought it might be a good idea to get them fixed before I returned home to Halethorpe.
Yeah.
And he said that the master cylinder had to be replaced. And that seemed reasonable enough. But then he kind of asked me nonchalantly if I knew that one of my CV boots was torn.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to admit that I didn't know that the CV boot was torn.
What, you don't crawl under the car every couple of days and check everything under there?
Well, the problem was I didn't know that I had CV boots.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, it's because you don't crawl under the car once in a while.
Well, I've taken to doing it more often now that I know.
Everyone should do this.
I've told all my friends, and they've started now.
Yeah.
But a lot of people told me that they've never heard of CV joints or CV boots before, and that they really don't think they have them, and they think it's some Japanese car thing. But I don't know. But the man proceeded to tell me that there was no way to repair a torn CV boot, and you also couldn't replace it.
Oh, you can replace
it. So what did he propose, to replace the whole car?
A new axle.
Yeah. Well, I think just go back south, I think, was a general idea. But what he said was that he painted this horrifying scenario of just what happens inside of a CV joint.
Tell us, so we can scare our customers, too.
Well, frightening enough that he almost got me to do this, but he said that what happens is the boot gets torn, and he showed me where it was torn.
All right, so that's step one. I'm writing these down because I want to be able to use this tactic.
Show customer torn boot.
Jagged edges of torn boot.
Jagged.
Yeah, jagged. Uh-huh. Use that.
And then you tell them that what happens is there's grease inside of that boot, apparently.
Uh-huh.
But it's supposed to be in there.
Right.
And once it's torn, it comes out.
Grease escapes.
Grease escapes through tear.
Right. Uh-huh. Jagged tear. Edged tear.
Jagged edge tear.
Is it getting frightening yet?
No, not yet. I mean, it's beginning. The tension is building up.
I can feel my heart rate increasing.
Yeah.
Then what?
Maybe it's just gas.
Well, he said, then what happens is, like, road dirt and grime and stones and pebbles and boulders get up in
boulders! Right boulders! I like that.
That's interesting. You got this... Don't fall into the trap of trying to understand how come stuff is coming out and stuff is going in at the same time. That's interesting, isn't it?
No, it's kind of
the centrifugal force is throwing the grease out, and at the same time, it's sucking things in.
If something leaves, there has to be what? Room for something else, right?
Right, I suppose that's
right. When
true.
You suck soda out of a can,
yeah.
Right? Air goes into
air
the
goes
place.
In.
Okay,
so boulders go in to replace
boulder
grease.
Intrusion.
It's one of the laws of physics, isn't it?
It is one of the laws. Okay.
Of course it is, my brother.
Boulder
doesn't
intrusion.
Understand these things.
Okay. Boulders go in, and then what happens?
Well, when the boulders get in there, then the car starts to make a little noise, because boulders, I guess, they rattle around in there.
Sure,
right.
They rattle
around. Like when those dinosaurs would walk with the boulders in their gullet to digest the food. Right. Okay, so noise.
It's those things they only tell mechanics in mechanics school. Other people don't know about these things, I don't think.
No, of course not.
So, what happened is that when I turned my car... I don't know if it was either in the direction of the torn boot or the other direction. I don't really know.
Usually the other direction.
Okay. Well, I'd hear a clunking noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it would keep getting louder and louder and louder.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say exactly what it was that would happen, but I pictured sort of driving down the highway and then the wheels just suddenly fly off.
Oh, I like this. He didn't actually have to fabricate a scenario for what would happen if you didn't do this. He left it up to your twisted little imagination.
Well, when you have boulders in your CV,
CV joints, this is great.
Right. So if you put all the pieces together, you've come up with the possibility that your wheels are going to come flying off at 75 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you're going to die in this crummy little Honda Civic.
And what a way to go.
Out in the middle of nowhere in Schenectady, too.
All right.
So yeah. That's even more frightening.
All right. Well, first of all, your wheel isn't going to fall off.
Uh-huh.
The noise you hear is likely to be the joint going bad because of the boulders that are in there. And God knows how long the boot has been ripped, but it's probably been ripped long enough so that the grease came out. And whether dirt got in there or not, the joint would fail because of the lack of grease.
Uh-huh.
And you need to get the joint replaced.
Is it something, like, is it an urgent thing? Because about 6 months have gone by, and I haven't done it yet, because I thought maybe I would just get a second opinion, and maybe you would just share your expertise with me.
Well, it's somewhat urgent by now, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, although it's, you know, even if the joint were to fail, the worst that would happen is that your car would stop moving.
Uh-huh.
But the wheels wouldn't fly
right.
off.
Right, and unless you happen to be near Schenectady, that is not a catastrophic failure.
I'll have to keep that in mind.
Rachel, you need to get the joint replaced.
Okay, yeah.
This really is a serious problem.
It is, okay.
You really must have it fixed, and it is going to cost you a few $100s.
Uh-huh.
But so what? You haven't spent anything fixing this car in all the years you've had it.
It's true. It's been a lovely car.
Yeah.
But we do want to thank you for enlightening us as to the scare tactics that this fellow used. Although his technique was incomplete, because if it were very good, he would have gotten you to do it right then and there.
That's true, yeah.
He was close. It just needs a little work, but we'll work on it, and thanks so much.
Okay.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Tommy, it's time for us to take a break.
Oh, already? How do you know?
Well, the president of the network just barged into the studio and yelled, "Give me a break!"
We'll be back with a brand new Puzzler in just a minute.
I drive an 87 Chevy with a Pontiac engine. It's got Buick front fenders and multicolored doors. It has a spiderweb fracture in the driver's side windshield and a dented bumper sticker that says "Trust in the Lord." My VHF scanner's always prowling through the channels, ever scouring the airwaves for the news of flashing light, seeking crashes and collisions, crumpled chassis and dead engines. I'm on the scene before you can say jaws of life. I'm just a miner in a motherload of misery, where the fruits of faulty judgment meet the spoils of bad luck, where the useless and unwanted find a place they can't be flaunted. I'm a soldier of misfortune and the king of junk.
And even though network execs add a line to the company holiday party invite that says, "P.S., don't tell Tom and Ray," when they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Hey, it's me again. Just a reminder that if you haven't pledged yet to your local station, now is a great time to do it. Why? Because you're listening to Car Talk, so we know you won't miss anything important. And your station is counting on you, and they're literally waiting to hear from you. You can pledge online right now by going to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Thanks. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler from the wonderful world of aviation.
Aviation! That's a transportation. Remember we were considering making this a show called Transportation Talk? Because we went from cars to trucks, to Humvees.
Trains.
And now DC-3s.
Almost.
And we're going to work our way up to the other things. What are they? Jets.
Back in the early days of aviation, aircraft mechanics were often confused by the fact that the engines seem to backfire through the carburetors with some kind of regularity, causing, in some cases, damage to the carburetors, but at the very least, requiring more maintenance and cleaning of said carburetor.
Not to mention scaring the pants off the pilot.
Indeed. Well, they began investigating, figuring there was something wrong, and after thorough investigations and recalibrating and resetting things, they discovered that the cause of the backfiring was the pilot. And in fact, the pilot was doing it on purpose. And the question is, why would the pilot of the plane want the engine to backfire through the carburetor, thus scaring the pants off of him himself?
Himself, right?
Could make for a chilly flight when it seemed to have, in the estimation of the mechanics, no useful purpose whatsoever. But in fact, there was a purpose to it. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. I decided in the interest of brevity today. I mean, after
you
all...
You were going to make this into a two-hour dissertation. Is that it?
Well, of course, I was going to discuss those movies with Jimmy Cagney. You know, I can fly the crates they come in and all that. You know, I was going to go into a little historical little thing about, you know, my days in the Crimea.
But you didn't think we could take it.
I saw the guns, yeah. So in the interest of brevity, I pared it down to a mere 17 or 18 sentences. Anyway, if you think you know the answer, write it on a Honda HS724TA dual-stage snowblower with single-cylinder air-cooled four-stroke overhead valve engine, automatic compression release, one-handed clutch control operation, hydrostatic transmission, and auger height adjustment pedal.
And send, what's that worth?
A couple of G's, I think. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Deanna.
Deanna?
Yeah.
Is that with two N's?
Yes.
I wrote Dean, and I left a space, and I wrote an A, so I could put in the extra N.
Fill it in.
Yep. It's in.
And where are you from, Deanna?
New York City.
Like Manhattan, New York City?
Like Manhattan, yes.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah.
You don't own a car.
Well, yeah, actually, I do. That's my problem.
Oh,
you're a banker then.
No. It's actually my mother's car, but she has a broken foot, so now all her car problems are my car problems.
In addition to having to drive her around every place.
Yeah.
Gee, what a nightmare.
Don't forget, she drove you around to plenty of places.
I know. We're going diaper for diaper, but that's beside the point. That's beside the point.
Yeah.
Want to hear about the car?
Sure.
Okay, it's the 87 Plymouth Reliant, the car designed and built for life in the city.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Of course.
Because it's rather unassuming, you know.
Mm-hmm. No one never really... gets stolen. Who would ever want it?
Right. And you would think, wouldn't you, that the parts would not be in high demand?
No.
Well, the battery is in very high demand.
Oh, well, that battery happens to fit a jillion other cars.
Yes, universal. Right. How many times has it been stolen in your fair city?
Well, my city is not as fair as some, I guess. It's been stolen about four times.
No kidding.
Twice in the last month. So this was our solution.
I have the solution, but give me yours.
We'll explain to you the twice in a month theory in a moment, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you know how in this city you have to move your car every day to the other side of the street?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the solution. It's horrible. I have to carry the battery down to the car each time, install it, close it up, drive the car around the block, repark it, take out the battery, and schlep it all the way back up to my apartment.
Jeez.
And it's not a pretty sight. I don't like it.
Well, you could just put it in the trunk.
But they could open the trunk just as easily, and plus...
Yeah, but they won't be looking for a battery in there. They might open your hood and fop, no battery, and they'll give up. They're not gonna, unless they see you put it in the trunk, of course.
Right. Have you possible, because here's the thing, I park it in the same neighborhood every day.
Yeah.
And that's my theory about the twice in a month thing, is that they know the car, because it's down there all the time.
Exactly.
Well, worse than that, they know that once they steal your battery...
I'm going to put another one back.
You're going to have a brand new one in there, so they won't have to steal a crummy old one.
When they steal batteries, they don't really want to steal old batteries.
Right.
So they say, how can we identify the cars that will have new batteries in them? And they say it's very simple. The cars from which we stole the batteries yesterday will have brand new batteries in them today.
Right, and if you look carefully on the left front fender, you will see a nearly invisible mark that the battery thieves put there so they can identify your car as having had its battery stolen.
Having knowledge of this theory, I mean, when I first moved to a certain section of this city, here in Boston, the North End.
Right.
The first night I parked my 56 Chevy there.
Known for its thieves and criminals, criminal element, I might add.
Right.
Watch it. Will you? You crazy?
The first night
I left the car there, I came the next day and the battery was missing.
Oh.
Knowing, of course, that the only reason they stole my battery was because they wanted to get a brand new one the next day, I purposely went to the junkyard and paid $2 for a battery that was on its last legs.
Oh,
but it was sufficient to start the car, so I put it in the car, drove it back, and put a note on top of it saying, ha, ha, ha.
They broke his windshield.
So they broke my windshield.
See, I believe that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of.
No, it's you know, you can't mess with these. If they want
to
steal your battery, let them steal.
It's
like it's like having an argument with someone that's preparing your food. You never know what they're going to do to it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Don't ever fight with the guy that's making your food.
So you should just lie down and let them take your battery every day. That's
no.
It.
Yeah.
No, cool. You know what? This happened a couple of years ago.
On a Sprite, Mr. Funny Man.
It happened.
No,
yeah.
We figured out how to stop them for a while because we saw somebody stealing a battery out of another car.
Yeah.
And what they were doing was going up underneath the hood and popping it open with a stick.
Right.
We put a little piece of metal in there so that they couldn't get a stick up there to pop it open. But now I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, they have their ways.
Is there any prevention for this?
Well, you can put
a padlock.
A chain, the kind you'd use to chain a bicycle.
Right.
Okay, which, of course, they can cut with bolt cutters. But the more equipment that you require to carry for them to carry around, the more difficult it becomes for them.
True.
Yeah, I mean, the other solution, of course, is the German Shepherd who likes to sleep right down by the tire. And he's chained on a 500-foot chain.
Named Wolfgang.
Wolfgang.
What I prefer is a Gila monster.
With a note around his neck that says, ha ha.
No, that resides right next to your battery.
Yeah, sure. No, well, good luck, Deanna.
Well, you're not going to tell me what to
do? No, buy the chain. Buy a chain with a padlock. So you can open the hood with the hood release from inside. And then in order to open it more than 3 more inches, you need to undo this chain and padlock.
Okay. But there's not anything that's specifically made. Maybe you could invent it.
Well,
you could invent it.
For a while, I actually put a chain around my battery when I lived in the North End.
Okay.
I just took a chain and a padlock and wrapped it around the battery. And I don't know if they ever came looking to take the battery after that, but it never got stolen.
But he did find
his
windshield broken 3 more times.
No, I mean, I know I don't know if that prevented them from ever stealing the battery again, but I had that chain and padlock around the battery for as long as I had the car.
Then he forgot the combination, and he had to sell the car because he couldn't change the battery.
So, I mean, I think the idea of forcing them to carry bolt cutters with them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Although they probably have bolt cutters already.
Yeah.
When they stole your battery, were the battery cables still intact?
One time they were, and one time they were not.
Yeah, so they have the bolt cutters already.
They have them, to cut the chains.
So it won't matter.
That really irked me.
I mean, I don't want to badmouth New York, but it is the rottenest place in the world to be.
It's
disgusting, horrible, crime-ridden, filthy, and...
Never, Thomas.
You want me to tell you what I really feel about the place?
Yeah, don't hold back, man. It's not good for your blood pressure.
Let it out slowly, okay?
Good luck, Deanna.
Okay, thanks.
Buy two chains. Yeah. See ya.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Prashant calling from Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Prashant?
How do you spell your name?
P-R-A-S-H-A-M-P.
P-R-A-S-H-A-N as in Nancy, P as in Tom, H as in Harry. Prashant.
Prashant.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
You got most of it. That's great.
Close. And where are you from again?
Harrisonburg, Virginia.
How do you spell that? So what's up, Prashant?
I have a dilemma between philosophy and love related to my car.
These are the kinds of questions we love. Philosophy versus love.
Whether I change my car. That's the question.
Ah.
And scene one would be the philosophy part. Scene two would be the love part.
Okay.
Okay, scene one. I drive a 91 Corolla.
Yep.
195,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Runs great. Doesn't look good. The right side of the car is bashed up. The front fender is gone. The rear fender is gone.
So it looks like you drove into a guardrail or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so that's scene one.
We've got the picture.
Got that.
It's a bad picture, but we've got it.
Yes.
Scene two.
Scene two. I'm getting married.
Yeah.
I'll be going to India, bringing my wife. Now.
Wait, you're bringing your wife to India?
No, bringing my wife from India.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
This is going to be the first thing she's going to see. She comes to America. She finds she has found her.
Oh, I see.
Wait a minute. Let her drive.
She doesn't know driving. That's another problem.
It doesn't matter. Unless she'll smash up the car, she'll think she did it.
Just hope that she smashes up the right side.
I see the dilemma here that you don't want this to be her first impression of America.
Yeah.
Or more importantly, you.
Of me in America. That's right.
Yeah.
Do you know her? Do you know your wife to be?
Yeah, I've never known her for 9 years, and I didn't go back for 5 years since I had to do my graduate school, get a job, and all that stuff. She's been patient. She's been good. She's been kind.
Yeah. I got it. What time of day does her plane come in? Can you arrange for a night flight?
It comes in around 6:30.
No.
So her Prince Charming is going to drive her in a junk.
Oh, 6:30 could be all right.
Well, here's another possibility now, that you rent a car.
That's where the philosophy question comes in.
Yeah.
If she was bothered about looks, she would not have married me.
Exactly. I can say that about my brother, that's for sure, right?
No, I mean, I've always been a believer in the truth. Why try to fake? You show up with a rented car that looks like it's $1 million because it is, and then the next day, the next week, or whatever it is, she gets the truth.
Yeah.
And she thinks of you as the man she married and a sneak and a liar.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah.
But honesty will almost always get you in trouble.
That's okay. I'm willing to change.
I can
see the glint in her eyes. She says, oh, man.
Is this the guy? Wait, I got
my
it.
My brother's got a pretty nice.
I got it. You tell her. You were so excited to get to the airport to pick her up crashed the car on the way. And you apologized profusely, but you would have gotten it fixed, but you had no time.
So how's he going to explain the rust?
Well,
it just happened immediately.
You may have to drive into a tree before you get to the airport. You may have to do a little touch-up, as they say. But I think you should tell her that you were just so nervous and so excited to see her that you crashed the car on the way to the airport.
No, he's coming with her. He's going to India to get her, and she's coming. Oh, when he was going to the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, okay. You crashed the car.
Tell her in India.
Exactly.
Hun, you won't believe what happened.
I was so excited to come to get you that I crashed the car, and it's parked at the airport, and it's gotten all rusted probably because it's been parked there for weeks and weeks. I apologize, but when we get back, maybe we'll just buy a brand new car if you think that.
And if you hope that she says, we don't have to do that. What is a car? It's you that I love, Prashant.
Right.
It's simple.
I think so. I think you're worrying way too much about this.
Cool.
I think so. I think you should just go there and bring your bride back to America and let the chips fall where they may.
When I married my bride, I was the proud owner. My current bride. I was the proud owner of a 1956 Chevy.
Great.
And she loved me, not the car. How could you love that car? Yeah, it makes the husband look a little better.
Yeah, no, you're going to look great standing next to that car. Don't worry about it.
Hey, good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
And have a wonderful marriage.
And lots of kids.
Oh, that's great. Probably I'll drive them the same car, too. That's fine.
There you go. See you later.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again.
What's happened?
You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Boulder, Bulgar, Bone Meal, and Boca Burger Blowout, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal security man is Muscles Marinara. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Greek driving instructor is Augustis Miros. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our seatbelt tester is Trudy Winchell.
Trudy Winchell.
True to Windshield.
True to Windshield.
Our chicken supervisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And, of course, our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
So much turnover. I can't even keep track of all the people.
I mean, Mike's been with us. You know, Peekoff's been with us a long time.
They've been with us, yeah, but Trudy Winchell. They're two new hires.
Well, they won't be around long. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the fixed and dilated shoppers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1948. Subscribe to our weekly podcast and take care of the holiday shopping for all the people that you don't like by checking out our clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week, how to skip the whole trade-in charade and donate your used car to benefit your public radio station instead. It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
But the haggling over the trade-in is my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Twice now you've gotten them up from 50 cents to a dollar.
Check out the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. For more info, go to cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR interns tweak their resumes and move NPR just below babysitting experience whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.